Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you've won two tickets to see Tom Papa. It's the Good Stuff Tour live special taping Saturday, June 15th, Warner Theater in the District. Two shows that night, 7 and 9:30 for tickets. And more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation. Congrats to the winner. Got to be caller 10 dialing right now. If you want tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby, we've got those in 1 hour at 4 o'clock today. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad. They are the official show sponsor for us at G&D. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. On the BetQL guest hotline, we find our buddy Trevor Sigma of Pro Football Focus. Does an amazing job breaking down the draft, talking all things NFL for them. He's very handsome. He's got lovely hair.
Outstanding hair.
Trevor, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
I appreciate it, guys, especially with an intro like that. I appreciate it. Thanks for it's always good to be with y'all.
The Commanders have been very busy. Their GM, who's very handsome and has great hair as well, Adam Peters, has signed 12 free agents from outside the building. Their 13th deal today came with one of their own all-pro special teams cover man, Jeremy Reeves. But I'm curious to get your take on how you feel about the Peters haul so far. They're shopping in kind of the middle and lower tiers of free agency.
Yeah, but I think it's a lot of solid deals. I really do. Like, I think Frankie Luvu is a heck of a player. I like the Tyler Biadasz add, even with some guys on the interior that you might like for depth. I mean, Austin Eckler, I think this is a really team-friendly deal as well. You bring in Marcus Mariota for some insurance. You're not sure exactly what you're going to do at quarterback, holding the number two overall selection. You know, maybe that means that Sam Howell could be traded elsewhere because, yeah, you know, maybe they didn't want a situation where Hal played decent at times last year. Did they want to bring in a rookie quarterback and have some pressure with him and the guy who played last year? Well, now this maybe frees you up to trade him, get a draft asset. You're signing a veteran so that guy can start right away if the number two overall pick isn't quite ready. So I like that move as well. I like the Jeremy Chinn move too. You know, Dan Quinn, you know, getting to work with a guy who is as versatile as Jeremy Chinn, I think that that's a really solid pairing. And so this is something that I've really enjoyed their class. Like you said, it's not these huge splash players, but I feel like it's guys that really allow them to get the, I think, right identity for the depth players, the core players, right? Anytime you have a major regime change, I think that's the part that goes underrated. It is getting these middle of the pack guys, these depth guys, the players that are going to round out the roster, are they to the liking, especially their specialized skill set, to the new coaching staff? And so that's what I feel as though this free agency class is doing for Washington. It's allowing them to take some bigger swings when it comes to the draft, and obviously no bigger one than the one that they have at number two overall.
Trevor, what does Austin Eckler have left, and how is he best used?
Yeah, I think he's got plenty left. I really do. Like, I don't think that this guy is just about to fall off a cliff. And he's best used when he is that, I think, utility back out of the backfield. You know, I wasn't sure if he was going to be somebody who's going to be able to carry the load as a workhorse back, if you will, moving forward throughout his career. But I like the idea of him getting to be a change of pace back, a really nice receiving back, an option out of the backfield. Because the thing with Austin Ekeler is he's somebody that you always have to be accounted for. And so even though, again, like I said, he was certainly a couple of years ago looking for that massive contract, that RB1 type of a contract. He didn't get that, and obviously last year wasn't great with the Chargers overall, but I still think that this is a good opportunity for him. Whether or not you're getting, you know, if you're getting the Austin Ekeler from a couple of years ago, the heavy volume, heavy usage, then all right, it's one heck of a deal. But even if you're not getting that, even if it's more of a committee approach with him being involved there, it's worth it because he gives you that sort of experience, skill set, especially how he benefits the passing game.
Does the Marcus Mariota addition spell doom for Howell in D.C., do you think?
Yeah, that was honestly my first thought. You know, some people, I saw the news and they were like, oh, this means that they're going to take Jaden Daniels, number two overall. Well, one, I think that's a little insulting to how mobile Drake May is as well, because I think that that little mobility there, it's not like Marcus Mariota right now is the Marcus Mariota that we saw winning a Heisman Trophy at Oregon. You know, this guy's not taking off to run all the time. And so I didn't believe that that was the biggest reaction that should have been had from the Mariota signing. In fact, I go to what you just asked that question. I think that this more says Sam Howell's probably on his way out, right? I don't think this is a situation where they go, oh, we've got Mariota now. We've got Sam Howell. We don't have to pick at number two overall. We can trade back if we want. Obviously, that is still on the table for them. I don't think that they're going to go that direction. And in fact, I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to take a quarterback at number two overall. They have Mariota to be that veteran backup or maybe the player to start for them right away. And I think once we get closer to the season, one of those teams that needs to go out and get a quarterback, you know, if a training camp injury happens or if a quarterback battle isn't going the way that they think, I think that's where you probably see how end up getting dealt.
Trevor Sikkema with us here on G&D of PFF. Let's go to the Biotis signing. I really liked it. It sounds like just like you did. I wonder how that fits with what Kingsbury wants to do, and maybe by extension, what do you think Kingsbury wants to do? Like, he's been very clear that no, it's not the air raid, but it kind of is, bro. Like, I'm a little bit hazy on that, but how do you think Biotis fits with that scheme?
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's a really good experience center overall, right? And so when you look at the rest of the guys that they have in there, I actually had them mock the center in one of my mock drafts. I think it was in the third round that somebody pointed out. It's like, no, they've got Ricky Stromberg, who they like, and, you know, he's somebody that's going to be the center eventually. And I think Ricky can be a versatile in-depth interior deep air offensive lineman, but I didn't think that it really was going to hold them back from either drafting a center that they really liked if they had the opportunity to in this draft, or, like what just happened, they go out and get a free agent. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to impact necessarily what Cliff Kingsbury is going to run, because I'm in the same boat as you guys. I'm wondering what kind of offense this is going to be for him, because, you know, he kind of had his crack at things when he was a head coach and he had total control. And there were times when it was very successful out in Arizona, but obviously it wasn't successful to the level that they needed it to be. And I wonder how much that changes things for him. You know, is he going to be more of an offense that likes to get lighter offensive linemen and get guys on their feet? You know, it's a lot of zone blocking stuff. It's a lot of things to the sideline. Is he going to have his offensive linemen try to run and chase when it comes to these RPOs, these screens, things like that? And so I just wonder, to me, the question becomes, what do you want your offensive linemen to do in the run blocking game? And then, of course, in the quick game as well, because there are offensive linemen that are a lot more powerful, you know, guys who can go more north to south, more man blocking, gap blocking kind of schemes. And, you know, sometimes when you look at those spread offenses, it's different, right? They want their offensive linemen to be able to get on the hoof, get out into space. They want any of their guys on the interior to be able to pull at any time for counters and lead blocking. So I'm just very curious as to what that is going to look like in Washington, because it sounds like it's going to be a little bit different, but in which ways in particular are going to be a little bit different. So I wouldn't be able to answer that question right now. I just think that Biotis is a good, solid veteran setter that I think is going to be good for whatever they're looking for.
PFF's Trevor Sikkema, one of their draft experts. And you know, you can hear he can spin the ball on all things NFL. I want to get to the number two pick, though. help this make sense for me, okay? Because I'm coming into this with a little bias. I think everybody thinks I'm out on Jaden Daniels, which is not the case. I like Jaden Daniels. I could get behind that. Watching all of the quarterbacks at the top of the board, I just can't figure out why Drake May isn't the obvious number two. So please help me with that.
Look, I would love to fight you on the other side and play devil's advocate, but I feel like I'm in the trenches with you trying to defend Drake May at this point. You know, we just produced the first version of the PFF draft guide, which you can go get over at pff.com. And in it, we've got 150 prospects and all the scouting reports, the trait breakdowns, all that good stuff. So I've watched a lot of tape on these players. And as of recently, before we put out the draft guide, I went back and I watched a few more games, especially of the quarterbacks, because I wanted my analysis to really reflect what I was thinking and how I view these guys, because that was around the time that we started to hear the whispers of Jaden Daniels maybe being QB2 in this class, you know, J.J. McCarthy kind of coming up. And I was like, man, did I miss something with Drake May? After the film review for a lot of those quarterbacks, I very clearly came away with Caleb Williams at number one, and I very clearly came away with Drake May at number two. I would be taking Drake May number two, and I wouldn't be thinking twice about it if I was Washington. This dude is awesome. Over the last 2 years, no quarterback in college football has had more big-time throws than him. He's not afraid to go over the middle of the field, which you can't say for Jaden Daniels. For as great as Jaden Daniels is, this offense that he played in last year did not ask him to go over the middle of the field very often. And when it did, you could tell he didn't have that same comfort level and confidence that he had throwing to the sideline, throwing those go balls, the slot fades, the out routes, things like that. Very comfortable doing that to the sideline. But attacking over the middle, you've got to be able to do it at the NFL level. And Drake May and J.J. McCarthy are the two quarterbacks who really stand out in that area in this class when it comes to the experience and the production. And so I just think the arm talent as well. I mean, he's got, to me, one of the best arms in the class. I mean, as you know, Joe Milton's got a crazy strong arm, but it's, you know, it's a howitzer and it's inaccurate. So it's hard to even say that he's got the best arm talent in the class. I look at Caleb Williams and Drake May, and I think that those two dudes stand out. I really do. I think that his film is fantastic. The production's been fantastic. And for us not to talk about him as the easy number two choice, I think is nitpicking at this point.
So, Trevor, I'm not an analyst. I'm just a pudgy zilch that likes sports. But I like Daniels. But the point that I'm making here is, if they say Drake May, I'm not going to be upset at all. Like, if Jaden Daniels didn't exist, I would say, yeah, Drake May's the easy number two. But be that as it may, the question is this. Why do you think, and maybe you haven't seen this, but why do you think there's so much venom about Drake May? That's the part that I haven't understood. Like, I just can't get over the electric playmaking of Daniels, and I love it so much, and I covet it, and sort of the rest will work itself out, I hope, with magical fairy dust. But there's this dismissal of Drake May that I don't understand. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's the part that confuses me, right? You liking Drake May a lot coming off of the Heisman Trophy winning season that he had, I mean, I'm not going to fault you for it. I mean, he was an unbelievable player this past year. And if you think that that is like what we saw with CJ Stroud the year before, the baseline of what's to come, then yeah, it's hard to not be really very drawn to what he was able to do this past season. So I don't fault anybody necessarily. I don't agree. Again, I've got Drake at number two, but Jaden was so good and there's so many different things that he could do. I can understand when we talk about the strengths and what's alluring about him. The negatives for May, man, I just, again, like, I feel like it's nitpicking. I really do. You know, some people, maybe it was just because the hype was too much, right? When we went into this year, when we went into the year, maybe it was just the fact that we were talking up Drake May so much and draft media got on him during the summer and, you know, oh, it's Caleb Williams, it's Drake May, it's one of these two. Maybe Drake May's even better than Caleb Williams. There was some debate about that for who was going to be QB1. And I wonder if maybe, I know scouts have been watching these guys for a long time, but you know, the coaches, the general managers, they get to watch this past year of Drake May. And from what I heard, they just weren't that impressed. They said they didn't think that it was bad. They just weren't that impressed. And I find that hard to believe as well. I think that any sort of mechanics issues that you have with them, which I think are a little bit overblown, that's all correctable, right? I think that that's stuff that you can fix. And the only thing that I can really think it might be the case is he not a leadership dude? Like, is there a personality thing? But here's the thing. I've talked with Drake May. Like, I've interviewed Drake May. I did a feature story on him 2 years ago. Like, he seems like a dude who really wants to work hard, comes from an athletic family, a successful athletic family. I mean, his brother's success are pushing him as much as anything else. And it's just, I did not see it. I didn't see it at all when I got to talk to him myself. I've watched some videos of him, you know, breaking down his own tape. Josh Norris and Hayden Winks over at Underdog have a great video doing that. And he just seems, I don't know, he seems like he understands the game very well. So even that part eludes me of a tangible reason of why we are nitpicking him so much. And maybe so much is even overblown because it feels like he's a top 10 lock anyways. But getting back to the original point, I don't know why he is being judged more harshly than these other quarterbacks who have things to work on as well.
That's well said. Trevor Sikkema of PFF. So who's your third guy? Is that where Daniel slots in, or do you have a debate there?
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of a debate. You know, I think that Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy are right there. To me, that they are very close. I think that's the conversation more so to me than Jaden or Drake at number two. I think of who's QB3 between J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels is more of the conversation. And like I alluded to a little bit before, the styles are different, so it's almost just going to come down to me, a preference. You've got both of these guys are mobile, but certainly Jaden Daniels is more of a dual threat than just a mobile quarterback. So you have that element going for him. But then on the other side for McCarthy has a lot of experience over the middle. When you look at quarterback heat maps, which you can see on the PFF draft guide, I mean, when you look at that intermediate middle of the field, which is just such a crucial place to put stress on a defense, 10 to 20 yards down the field between the numbers, it is red as a heat map for J.J. McCarthy. He likes going to that area. He likes attacking, especially with play action. He knows how to read it. He knows how to manipulate the linebackers. He's not afraid of those tight window throws. And again, that's just not the case with Jaden right now. I don't want to say that he can never be that way, but right now he does not have that in his wheelhouse when it comes to really pointing to tape that says, yes, you're going to be able to do that at the next level. Here's the other thing about Jaden. I think that he's got incredibly clean mechanics. In fact, I think he's got the best mechanics of any quarterback in this class. I really do. All the way from the feet to the follow through. It's beautiful. It is pinpoint. I think that those clean fundamentals help him maximize what is otherwise just an adequate arm when compared to other NFL quarterbacks. I think that we're romanticizing his arm strength and his arm talent a little bit here, because when I put his arm up against McCarthy's, up against Drake Mays and Caleb Williams, to me, Daniel's arm talent is easily fourth out of those four quarterbacks. And so that's kind of where these debates kind of come from. The production's been unbelievable as a passer and a rusher for Daniels, certainly this past year. And he really learned to take care of the football well 2 years ago, and he's been able to continue that. And McCarthy is even better in 2023 than he was in 2022. He's a young quarterback. You think that the best days are ahead of him as well. So there's obviously pros and cons to both of these guys. Right now I do lean Jaden Daniels as my QB3. But that's the debate and the conversations that I've had as I've watched these guys.
Are Penix and Nix first rounders?
Man, you're loading the tough one on me here with this. I don't think they should be. I think both of those guys should probably be early second round quarterbacks. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea if the NFL agrees or not, because I have heard people talk about Penix as a first-round quarterback. I mean, you listen to how they talked about him on the Combine broadcast when he was throwing at the Combine, and it's no shade to those guys at all because Penix was having a great day. But they're making it seem like he is going to be a first-round pick. And then you talk to other people, and you go, no, he just doesn't have the accuracy, doesn't have the natural ball placement. The injuries I'm not really that worried about. But you know, some people talk about Penix as a third-round pick, so he's all over the place. And then Nix, it feels as though everybody kind of agrees on Nix. A little bit of what you see is what you get. Just a really solid overall quarterback. I am higher on him than most. He would be a candidate that I would love for a team that misses on a quarterback in the first round to trade back up into the back end of round one to go get. I'm very comfortable with Bo Nix in the back end of the first round, early part of the second round range. And then Penix, kind of that same thing. I'm right around second round with Michael Penix. So I will lean no, but there are a handful of teams that still need decent quarterback hope, I will call it, coming out of free agency. Maybe not as desperate as they were a week ago, but they still need that young quarterback hope. And so when that's the case, anything can happen.
Last one real quick, because I teased it, I would ask you this, and I want to pay that off. Justin Fields, where do you think he ends up?
Man, as the hours go by, it seems just more and more uncertain of where he is going to end up. I think one thing is clear. He's not going to go somewhere to be a starting quarterback. If he wins a starting quarterback job, okay, that's a different story. But he's not going to go somewhere to just be their starter. I look at maybe Seattle, you know, the backup Geno Smith. Geno Smith just restructured his contract. Maybe it's a situation where they're going to move on from him at least next year. You got Justin in the building, but then his contract obviously becomes tricky with his rookie contract coming up. Maybe New Orleans, but New Orleans then gets in a situation where they restructured Carr's deal. Carr seems to be their starting quarterback no matter what over the next 2 years. Do you want to bring Justin Fields in and have half the fan base call for him to start if Derek Carr starts the next year? Not so hot. So there's all that added pressure that you got to think about as well, bringing him in. But those are the two spots. And then, of course, I think New England is the big wild card. What do you do there? They've got the number three overall pick, don't have a really great quarterback option right now other than Jacoby Brissett. And so maybe that is another destination. So Seattle, New England, New Orleans, those are the three destinations that I feel like might be still on the board for them.
That's Trevor Sikkema. You can follow him at Tampa Bay Trey, where I would encourage you to post your hair care routine. People would like to know. Thank you, Trey.
Appreciate it, guys. Conditioner every night. Everybody out there, conditioner every night.
Every night.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank
Trevor Sikkema of PFF. Great information, as always. I want to get into some of his takes there at number two.
How about that?
I didn't realize he was such a big Drake May guy, and he's got J.J. McCarthy.
Ahead of Daniels.
Well, he had Daniels third, but creeping up on him and making it a conversation. He eventually said Daniels would be his third narrowly. But yeah, McCarthy, he thinks, is right there, and he says that's where the real debate should be. Let's get into that next on The Fan. Thank you, Linnell, for the update. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Beltway Blitz at 4. That's when we're giving away tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby. You got to be listening if you want those in 30 minutes. You just heard Linnell mention the Nats got a 2-1 win at spring training. Jake Irvin was nails. 5 innings, 1 hit, shutout ball, 5 strikeouts.
Jake Irvin.
Nasty.
Hello there.
Just out here making moves. Love seeing that. What an awesome guy he is. You'll hear an interview with him on the brand new episode of Bustin' Loose Baseball, your Nats pod of choice.
Well done.
Which drops tomorrow, myself and Toby Altizer. Make sure you grab that. But I wanted to play a quick game really fast before we get back into the conversation on quarterbacks at the top of the draft board and what Trevor Sikkema just told us about J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Trevor May. I'm sure it's Trevor May. Drake May.
Trevor Maddich.
If they draft Trevor May, the former reliever for the Oakland A's, I'll be very, very upset.
Good Trevor May pull.
Yeah, Trevor May, who just retired, by the way, from Major League Baseball. The game is called Which Three Nationals, yes, three too many, ended up on my fantasy baseball team that I drafted last night. I can tell you their values if you want. This was an auction league.
Okay, I'd like to know them.
Okay. The values were $1, $2, and $3. Three different players. I spent $1 on a national. I spent $2 on a national. And I spent $3 on a national. Again, probably at least two too many, maybe three too many. But I have three Nats on my team. Danny, I'm going to give you the first guess.
You didn't go get C.J. Abrams for that. That guy's going for decent money in auction leagues, and he's like a round three or four type player with a stolen base potential at shortstop. So it's not one of those guys. I'm going to say you spent a little bit on a reliever. Kyle Finnegan is on your roster.
Kyle Finnegan is not on my roster, although he did go for like $7.
Did he really?
A little surprised by that. Finnegan had a little, I mean, he's going to get some saves, some holds, important in our league. Darius, you get the next guess. I spent $1, $2, and $3 on three different Nationals players, all on my fantasy team. Who are they?
I'm going to go, I'm thinking that you dipped into the pitcher pool as well.
Okay.
Your guy is Mackenzie Gore. I'm going to say you got Mackenzie Gore. Let's go. Let's go.
$1, Mackenzie Gore.
$1.
Like the value there. Probably an opening day starter, high volume punchies, swings and misses in bunches. I drafted Mackenzie Gore for $1.
I know my guy, GP.
Now, there are two Nationals left. I got one of them for $2. I got one of them for $3 in my Dynasty League last night. Ryan, which Nationals did I draft?
I'm going to dip into some water here that may be a little bit risky.
Okay.
Did you draft the Lane train for $3?
Lane Thomas went for like $20.
Wow.
Yeah, Lane Thomas, that's 20-plus home runs and 20-plus stolen bases.
That's as good as money, sir.
That does not come cheap, my friend.
Thought it would.
Might not have been 20. Might have been like 18, 17 bucks. But no, it was a little out of my price range. I was not interested in a national okay. in the $18 range.
Now, I know how my guy does Major League Baseball fantasy drafts.
You do.
I'm between two minds here.
Okay.
I'm going to say that you spent a dollar.
It's $2 and $3 left.
Oh, two and three left? Oh, yeah. I didn't make the change my thing. Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie Gore, $1.
You drafted K-Bear Ruiz.
K-Bear Ruiz, $3, my starting catcher.
Because if it was $1, because for ratios, you would have drafted Hunter Harvey. Like, that's your bit.
I definitely, he was in my queue at the end of the draft.
My guy Grant loves power reliever ratios for a dollar.
This is true. High volume, strikeouts, swings and misses. Yes, you're right. Hunter Harvey was in the queue. He did not get drafted. Might have picked him up for a buck. But we went in a different direction there at the end. But that means there's just one Washington National left who I drafted at $2. Who did I draft, Harris?
I'm going to take a chance and okay. say you went a couple bucks on a prospect. But I don't think it's one of the big ones. I don't think it's James Wood. I don't okay. think it's Dylan Cruz. I'm going to go Trey Lipscomb.
That would be a hipster pick.
Yeah.
That would be an, hey, everybody, look how smart I am.
This isn't what jersey did he buy.
I did not do that. I did not draft Trey Lipscomb. Ryan, you're in a pretty good spot here.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be my guess until I thought I was getting cute. James Wood.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, James Wood for $2, a little draft and stash. I'm feeling silly.
I thought he'd be a little more expensive. Just a little bit.
Should have been. Yeah. Waited till the end, put him up for auction. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Just got James Wood for $2. This is outrageous. So, $1 for Mackenzie Gore, steal. I didn't go in wanting to draft Nationals, but if you guys aren't going to be spending any money on them, I'm going to get myself a 12-win guy who's going to pitch to a 3.8 ERA with a bunch of strikeouts, breakout candidate for a buck. I'll take Mackenzie Gore. I will gladly accept K-Bert Ruiz, expected batting average, a lot better than last year's. And if you're going to give me James Wood for $2, if you're going to do it,
you'll take that wood for $2.
I will split that wood for $2, ladies and gentlemen. Good little game there. Good fun. We all had fun.
Good game, everybody.
Everybody
enjoyed
ourselves.
Did everybody get one player, by the way? Or did Ryan get two?
Oh, how about that? Everybody got one? Just the way we like to do it. No, Ryan got one. He only got James Wood.
There we go.
You keep talking, but you're not on air for some reason. I don't know what's happening.
No, I was saying I just got one.
Oh, there we go. I like that kind of game.
I just saw he just kept saying things, and I'm like, I have no idea what.
Who are you talking to?
Glass. It's like a bank teller for
some
reason.
Who are you saying that to?
What
we don't know.
Are those words?
Are you talking to Darius only or just us? You tell me.
That microphone. Microphone glass. To go on a microphone glass.
Microphone glass.
How about Trevor Sikkema? He is a big Drake May guy.
Yeah.
Didn't have that in the office pool. I mean, look, I get loving Drake May. You just turn on some tape and you see, rewatch any of their games. It's a big arm. It's a big body. He spins it. He makes big time throws. But for him to say so decidedly, I haven't heard anybody that confident. There have been some people doing that about Jaden Daniels. Not many draft experts, more fans, I would say, that you definitely got to take Daniels, look at the performance against the SEC, won the Heisman Trophy. But I haven't heard anyone this adamant in saying that May over Daniels should be such an easy decision.
Look, I would love to fight you on the other side and play devil's advocate, but I feel like I'm in the trenches with you trying to defend Drake May at this point. You know, we just produced the first version of the PFF draft guide, which you can go get over at pff.com. And in it, we've got 150 prospects and all the scouting reports, the trait breakdowns, all that good stuff. So I've watched a lot of tape on these players. And as of recently, before we put out the draft guide, I went back and I watched a few more games, especially of the quarterbacks, because I wanted my analysis to really reflect what I was thinking and how I view these guys, because that was around the time that we started to hear the whispers of Jaden Daniels maybe being QB2 in this class, you know, J.J. McCarthy kind of coming up. And I was like, man, did I miss something with Drake May? After the film review for a lot of those quarterbacks, I very clearly came away with Caleb Williams at number one, and I very clearly came away with Drake May at number two.
Grab me if you can, Darius, why he loves him so much as he continues talking about him. You're a big Jaden Daniels guy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who isn't? I think everybody.
Right,
we all are. He's
going out on a limb there.
Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson. But in this argument, in this conversation, you prefer Daniels to May. My question to you is, for the Daniels camp,
mm-hmm.
where it just seems like every time someone yells at me, it's he won the Heisman, he did it in the SEC, look who he was playing against, look at his numbers. Where are the nerves on some of the really scary metrics for him. The stuff where he's on lists with guys like Christian Hackenberg and a bunch of guys that have not made it in the league in terms of, you know, if you just look at it, like pressure to sack percentage or leaving clean pockets or how often you throw deep in your career or when you throw deep, how wide open guys are. I know it's super analytics and less eyeballs, but like where are more of the nerves on that stuff?
The nerves to me are his frame and him getting hit. That's where my nerves are.
But what I'm asking is why don't people care about the other thing?
Because you answered your own question. It's super nerdy. It's hard to find. Not everybody's doing
that. But it's so important.
It is, but context matters, I would say. It's not as if he's dropping back, he's lost, he's an idiot, and he gets hammered in the backfield for 10-yard losses every time. He's scrambling around and maybe goes out of bounds, you know, at minus 1/2 yard, and it goes in the book as a sack. I'm not saying that's 100 times.
Yeah, if you look at the historical context, though, of a lot of his metrics and you put them with quarterbacks, as it pertained to guys that made the leap to the NFL, like a lot of those lists are not lists you want to be on.
Totally.
That's where my pause comes from. If they take him at 2, I get the electricity and the fun and the skill set, and I'm right there with you. We'll all high five on draft night. It's not like I'm going to feel like I did, with all due respect to the late Dwayne Haskins, you know, the night they drafted him where, you know, you got major reservations. I'm excited about Jaden Daniels' prospects. But my point is, the conversation about him is not what it should be as it pertains to, like, the trouble numbers. It just seems like no one cares about them because he had 50 touchdowns at LSU. Well, Dwayne Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. You know, everyone just kind of threw that out there. Like, if he didn't win the Heisman and, you know, 50 touchdowns was 40, you know, I know, understand that's a different season. But I think the whole conversation is different. Based on a couple of crazy epic games that I loved, by the way, some of them against teams that didn't have NFL players. Most of the time he was playing in the SEC. But I don't know, do you get the same sense I do that, like, that it doesn't seem like there's, within fans maybe more than even the media, there's just not the same level of, like, nitpicking, diving into it.
100%.
Oh my God, this guy's awesome.
And that's where my confusion is coming. That's part of the reason I asked Trevor Sickema that question is this. You know, the nitpicking about Drake May has made him undraftable, and that's hyperbolic, to some folks, which I don't get. Because the way I've said it is, if Jaden Daniels didn't exist, he'd be my second favorite quarterback. And if they say Drake May, I'll be thrilled. You know, I mean, there's no wrong answer to me. You throw a dart at the board, and I'll be happy with either guy. I just can't get over those highlights and the playmaking stuff from Daniels. To me, like, everything else is academic. That's what wins. 4th and 7, sometimes you have to do something special, right? The league is so close. So to me, that's the thing I covet. I want the fear in my opponents the way that I've been afraid for 30-plus years. That's why I like him. I understand all the negative stuff. That doesn't, the level that you're talking about doesn't enter into the regular fan conversation, though.
It should, though. We have the information now. Let's use it. Like, we need to do better than he won the Heisman. Or like, he was awesome in college. So was Jason White. What do you remember about his career? Now, anytime we have these conversations, it sounds like I'm starting to kill Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is an incredible prospect. But I'll give you guys some of the numbers if you want them when we come back. But I guess I'm wondering, like, where are some of the nerves and trepidation? And part of it is when I watch Drake May, I don't know how people can watch that and not go, this looks like Justin Herbert. No, this looks like Josh Allen light. This is what it's supposed to look like. I will let you hear from Sickema in just a moment. I actually want to check out this conversation. JP just texted me. JP Finley from B. Mitch and Finley, I guess, caught up with Jordan Reed at the Combine. Sounds like he similarly had thoughts on how strong the May Daniels kind of difference might be. So I want to dig in on that. But we'll let you hear what Sickema had to say and get a double play next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I would be taking Drake May number 2, and I wouldn't be thinking twice about it if I was Washington. This dude is awesome. Over the last 2 years, no quarterback in college football has had more big-time throws than him. He's not afraid to go over the middle of the field, which you can't say for Jaden Daniels. For as great as Jaden Daniels is, this offense that he played in last year did not ask him to go over the middle of the field very often. And when it did, you could tell he didn't have that same comfort level and confidence that he had throwing to the sideline, throwing those go balls, the slot fades, the out routes, things like that. Very comfortable doing that to the sideline. But attacking over the middle, you've got to be able to do it at the NFL level. And Drake May and J.J. McCarthy are the two quarterbacks who really stand out in that area in this class when it comes to the experience and the production. And so I just think the arm talent as well. I mean, he's got, to me, one of the best arms in the class. I mean, as you know, Joe Milton's got a crazy strong arm, but it's, you know, it's a howitzer and it's inaccurate. So it's hard to even say that he's got the best arm talent in the class.
That's Trevor Sikkema of PFF, who joined us early in the hour. We'll get to our double play in just a moment. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. We had him on to talk about the Commanders' free agency class, and for the record, he loves what they've done in free agency. I mean, he kind of went move by move, talked about why he liked it. It's hard to really hate their class. The one thing you could say is, where's my star power? Who's going to be your excellent player here? Like, did you get a Pro Bowler? Probably not. Did you get someone who's going to be a top two or three performer for the next 5 years on offense or defense? Maybe Frankie Louvu. Otherwise, probably not. So that could be the knock. But they also haven't spent a lot of money. I posted this earlier today. Over the Cap says that they still have $66 million in cap space. And if you look at the cap numbers for 2024 among their new 12 guys, their top five biggest cap numbers of the players they brought in: Dorrance Armstrong, $4.9 million this year against the cap. Tyler Biadasz, $4.2 million. Jeremy Chinn, $3.9 million. Frankie Louvu, $3.8 million. Brandon McManus, the kicker, $3.6 million. I mean, they haven't, not a single guy. Like, Kirk Cousins is getting, I don't know what his cap number is, but his AAV is $45 million a year. It completely changes the algorithm in Atlanta, and his cap number is going to be massive in a couple years. The biggest cap number for this season, after 12 moves that they've made now, is sub $5 million against a cap where they had $80-plus million to spend.
Yeah, just try to quantify it. Terry McLaurin, $24 million-plus cap it. Daron Payne, $21 million. Jonathan Allen, $21 million. The next highest is Andrew Wiley, who they're probably going to look to upgrade from, but maybe stuck with. After that, Nick Gates is at 5.6. Like, everybody else is sub 5. They are not spending money.
Do you have the dead money up on Wiley?
Yes.
What would it take to get out of that deal?
So, if they cut him pre-June 1, $7.8 million dead money. Post-June 1st, you can spread
savings?
It. $1 million, $1.5 million.
Not worth it.
They're not going to do it.
Post-June 1st.
Then you'd split that. It would be $5 million in savings with, $5 million dead cap, $4 million in savings.
Not worth
spread
it.
Out over 2 years. So there's no reason to do it.
This is why he's still their right tackle.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we keep thinking, well, maybe they're going to have a new right tackle. Either kick him into guard, which doesn't look like it's happening now after they went out and got his former teammate, Nick Allegretti, to play left guard, and they already have Cosmi at right guard. So Wiley's, you're probably just rolling with him at right tackle, and you're drafting a new starting left tackle.
Pretty much.
I'd love to see him sign. They're going to sign a tackle, obviously, because they need a swing tackle too, because Cornelius Luke has hit the market. Unless they bring him back, they need another guy like him. I hope they sign a left tackle that can start and then draft one at 36. You could either have a competition. Like, if you were to pair, I'm just throwing Tyron Smith's name out there, the former Cowboy, who's maybe the best left tackle available. If you were to sign Tyron Smith for 2 years, who gets hurt all the time, and then draft a tackle at 36, kind of learn from him and be ready to play when he goes down a handful of weeks into the season, maybe. I think that's a really good situation at left tackle comparative to where they are now.
I smell what you're cooking there. And again, those two second-round picks at 36 and 40 could come in handy in that regard. Maybe you can move back into the first round, back end, to do that. I mean, it all depends on how the board falls. But to me, my favorite thing that they've done in general, which would apply to this same process talking about a tackle, is they're not going to be panicked where they go, we have to do this in the draft. And everything other than quarterback, where they do have to do something. But every other spot, it's, if worst case scenario, we've got this guy for a year and we can figure out that problem later. The problem that you can't figure out later is quarterback. Ron Rivera taught us that. 30 plus years of whatever this has been has taught us that. If you don't have one, you draft one. Stop doing everything else and you draft one. You don't do the bargain basement leftover bin. You don't do anything weird and try to figure out and make Jimmy Garoppolo or Carson Wentz work if you're one of these organizations that's been without. You draft one. If that doesn't work, you come back in 2 or 3 years and draft again. But every other spot, if you don't have a great solution, you don't just throw bad money at it and hope that it works, right? So in that judicious, kind of cautious approach, it's made a lot of sense to me.
A squeeze in a very quick double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local D.C. area Honda dealers today.
Jeeps, tomorrow, Friday, and maybe beyond, hopefully not, I am going to be out. I am not going to be with you guys for a few days. I am getting a couple procedures done, and it's not what we've designated as major surgery. That's not really a thing, but it's major to me. So that's, I never liked that phrase where it's like, it's minor surgery. That bleep ain't minor to me, dude. I'm freaking out, right?
Are you nervous?
Yes. Stuff like this terrifies me. My guys at Capital Breathe Free have been amazing to work with, and they're going to try to fix a million things that are wrong with my nose, sinuses, breathing, ear canals, everything. I wish they could also do a nose job situation because this big old honker doesn't really fit, and I would love to straighten it out and lose a lot of it.
This just got real.
But they don't.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying.
You don't like your nose.
Well, no, nobody does. I'd like a different nose that's smaller and less ugly. So people are going to make a joke, did you get a nose job? I wish that's what this was. But no, it's a bunch of procedures to try to fix chronic crap that has been bothering me for years.
You're basically getting, I thought you were just getting a procedure for like the deviation of the septum.
Yeah, I got that.
There's more than that.
Oh, there's a bunch of stuff. There's eustachian tube this and septal swell this and things called turbinates. I don't know what the turbinate is. I do know this. When I last went for my like millionth case of laryngitis, this is now 1,000,001, by the way, that I'm coming back from.
So this will prevent you from losing your voice.
We hope.
Do I need to get these things done too?
Well, I'll let you know how it goes. But they did a CT scan last time, right? And they have these really cool bits of technology where they go, here's what a healthy Robert Turbin thing looks like. Here's what yours looks like a mutated alien baby of a turbinate, whatever
what
the thing is.
What is the turbine?
I'm not sure what the turbinate is.
It's something in your nose or throat?
Both, maybe. Nose, I don't know.
Okay.
But they're like, this is this. Yours looks like it was beaten to death and isn't working.
I went to a ear, nose, and throat doctor mm-hmm. recently as well. I'm like, hey, look at my vocal cords. I can't talk anymore. And I kind of do that for a living.
We have to do it.
And so they I'm sure they did the same thing for you. They like spray something in your nostrils mm-hmm. so it numbs it.
Yep.
Then they send up a tube with a camera and something else.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like looking. I don't know how they're doing it. But then she's like, you're going to feel the tube coming out in your mouth. And it's just like touching the back of your tongue. Yeah. And now it's like touching your tooth somehow.
How you doing? I'm great. This is great.
It was a wacky situation.
Can I tell you real quick what was butt embarrassing about that?
Sure.
Where they did both. They did all of it. Every place in my head that you could stick something, they put something in there. And the second to last one was my left ear, which is the one that's been chronic with ear infections and stuff.
And you got ear infections too?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's...
What are we doing?
And they never go away. I have to go get what's called a myringotomy, where they take a needle and puncture your eardrum so that it drains finally. That's one of the things we're trying to fix. So, I mean, my whole system sucks. But anyway, she's taking the camera in there. And a second or two in, she has to like work around something. And I'm kind of like, what's going on there? And she goes, that's just earwax buildup. Anyway, and like kind of keeps going.
Oh, that's so
and
gross.
I'm like, oh God, that's so embarrassing. That's really embarrassing.
I mean, I don't know if it's embarrassing.
It's pretty embarrassing.
It's probably past Q-tip range. Not a lot you could do about it.
I don't know where it was or where it wasn't. I just know that I was humiliated.
That's tough.
I know my whole system sucks, but she was like, oh, that's just earwax, and kind of like moved along, like, dee, you slob.
Well, we're thinking about you.
Thank you, dude.
And you're going to be on the IL for a couple of days.
Yeah, hopefully just a few days.
You're back Monday?
I hope.
All right.
The recovery was like, if this bleeds, if this explodes, this is bad, do this, or you could be fine in 4 days.
Let's
like,
go
nobody
for
knows.
Fine.
That's what we want.
You're going to sound silly on Monday.
I hope so.
No more laryngitis in 2024 and beyond.
That's the goal.
Danny Hoohey. Beltway Blitz is next. Plus, we've got those tickets to Old Glory Rugby DC on Grant and Danny when we return on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.